right, welcome to part five and the final installment of our five-part series, Uncommon. I'd like to just pause right here and welcome those who join us each and every week by way of our online campus. We're so glad that you're along for the ride. Come on, everybody, can we just welcome those that are joining us online? So glad to have you here. Awesome, awesome. I hope you're enjoying this series, and I know I've had a wonderful time with it. We're going to be launching a new series next week. I hope that you will be encouraged to be here and also bring others with you starting next week. That's going to lead us right up into Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. Yes, we're talking about Easter already. We're in March, and April's coming, and it's going to be an awesome time, and I believe that it's just going to be climatic as we go right into Easter with a phenomenal service as we celebrate a resurrected King. I want you to be helping me just invite others, and don't just point them to the way, lead them, right, by your example and by your being here, and invite people to come and join you and be with you and sit with you and do life together. And so really excited about what's ahead of us in this season. Let me jump right into this installment this morning. We're talking about this idea of uncommon. And the thesis of this series is that great relationships are possible, but not probable. And they're not probable because a lot of us are not following God's way, we're following the world's way. The world has become more common to us in their practices and relationships, and we oftentimes have adopted many of those and think those things are right and normal. But actually, when we study God's Word, we discover that God has a completely different way when it comes to relationships. So I want us to jump into our message notes. Those are there in your worship guide. If you're watching online, you can download those and watch along with us from our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com. Just go right there to today's message and click where it says listen, and it'll open that up and you'll see notes. Click on that and you can follow along with us. So let's pick it up from our theme verse that's found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Where it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. So there's the world's way, the way they behave and their customs, but the Bible tells us that's not the way that we need to go, especially in the area of relationships. But let God transform you. Let's say that again this week. Would you say that with me? Let God transform, let's say it this way, me. Come on, let's say it. Let God transform me. And let's say it one more time. Let God transform me. There is a transformation, that's really key to this series, is that it's not trying to fix everybody out there when it comes to our relationships. Because a lot of times when it comes to relationships, we say, well, I'm going to get so-and-so here, and I want you to preach at them because they're the ones that needs to get fixed, you know. If you get them straightened out, I'll bring them and you can talk to them. Or I wish so-and-so was here because, boy, they could really use this. But actually, it begins with the transformation of us on the inside, right? It begins with us. And we're saying, God, transform us into a new person. So we can be a brand new person. So how does that happen? And it begins by changing the way you think. By changing the way you think. And then when you learn to, look at verse 2. Then when you learn to know God's will for you, which is good, then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So God has a will. God has a plan for relationships. And God has a good plan for relationships. So today we're going to talk about uncommon influence. And this is kind of a climatic message in this entire series. Uncommon influence. And we all have influence. And we can influence people for the good or we can influence people for the bad. But we all have influence. In fact, I heard John Maxwell say that leadership is influence. And guess what? We're all leaders because everybody is influencing somebody. Some way, you're always sowing. You may be sowing good seed or bad seed. And by the way, seed comes up. It brings a harvest. So are you sowing seed that's good or are you sowing seed that's bad? So what are you sowing? What kind of life are you living? How are you influencing others in that? And so the Bible teaches us that there's an uncommon influence that we can have. We can have an influence that's going to be an eternally lasting influence. Back around here, one of our things is that we want to make a difference. And when we say make a difference, it's not just, you know, make some kind of little trivial temporary difference. No, we're believing for an eternal difference in the lives of people. So it's an uncommon kind of influence that we're talking about, because when God gets in it, he's able to change from the inside out and change lives forever. And so as we look at this, we can think about relationships that we've had. People have poured into our life and been a lot of influences and factors, people that have shaped us to who we are. When we look back, each of us, to our past, some are negative, some are positive, but we've all had those things poured into our life. But when we talk about relationships and that God has a good plan for our relationships, we know that in those relationships, many times there are challenges that we face. To have some relationships, it is very challenging. And with relationships comes hurt and comes pain. When there's love invested, sometimes there's pain within that. And so when we think about that, there are some responses that we can have to being hurt in relationships. And I want us to look at a few of those today, and how that sometimes, if we're not careful, we can respond to being hurt in relationships. And first of all, our response many times is, I must protect. I must protect. And that's so that means that I'm going to build a wall around me so nobody can hurt me again. I'm going to maybe even isolate myself. I'm going to protect myself. They hurt me, they're never going to hurt me again. I'm going to protect myself. And so we don't put ourselves out there anymore. We just kind of we regard it. We don't trust people. We stay in this wall. And I've shared this before, but I think it's so appropriate to share again. I heard John Maxwell talk about one time, he's a great leadership guy, and he just talked about how that one time he decided that he wasn't going to let anybody in anymore because they hurt him. And if he didn't let them in, then they couldn't hurt him anymore. He could protect himself. But what he discovered was, not only did he shut out the people that could hurt him, but he also shut out the people who could help him, right? And so we got to be careful with that. So we must protect. That's one of our responses. The second one is, I must benefit. So from now on, I'm gonna think about me. What benefit is it in for me in this relationship? And I was thinking about others, but I got hurt, so I got to think about myself. So we think, I must benefit. A third thing is we say, well, I must control. So if I'm going to have benefit, then I got to control the situation. So I'm going to control those relationships around me. I'm going to control my wife. I'm going to control my husband. I'm going to control those I work with. I'm going to control things. And so that becomes a response. Another one is we say, I must win. I got to come out on top in this relationship. So those are some responses that oftentimes that we have. We say, I must win. I must win. But we've got to be careful with those things. You know, most problems are people problems. Have you ever heard people say, I love my job if it wasn't for, and if you fill in the blank, most of the time it's people, isn't it? I love my job if it's just, you know, the job itself is fine. It's just people. I've heard pastors say, and I've said it facetiously myself, pastor and be okay if it wasn't for people. You know? But I love y'all, you know that. But really, everything you do involves people. It's not just the product, it's the people. And I've said before, some companies think that their business is the product, and there's a problem with that, because your product is not your business. Your product's the product. Your business is people. And if you don't know how to treat people, guess what? You don't know how to run your business. So it's about people. But Jesus had people problems as well. Think about it. We call them disciples. We elevate them to the saints, you know, the saint, you know, Saint John and Saint Peter. And I understand that. But guess what? When Jesus dealt with them, he dealt with the same people problems that you and I deal with. He had problems. And I want us to look at some of the things he faced. In fact, let's just take one particular disciple. His name is Peter. Because Peter was one that was bold, but he was also one that at times would step in it. And Jesus was always managing that relationship and speaking into the life of Peter. And as we do this, though, the goal of this is that we can identify with this as well. You may be able to identify your relationship with other people. Maybe some things that you can identify within yourself that maybe need to be addressed and take a look at. But this is what we discover in this, and that is that people will disappoint. When we look at the life of Peter, we see that he had brought some disappointment there. In fact, one time they were out on the boat. You remember the disciples were out on a boat and a storm came up and Jesus came walking on the water. And Peter, again, being bold, he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you." You can say what you want about Peter, but guess what? He went overboard for Jesus. So he stepped out over the boat. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been on a boat when it's calm, much less being on a boat when there's a storm stepping out of the boat. This guy had some faith, so I'm going to give it up for Peter. But Peter kept it. He was looking at Jesus, and he was walking on the water, but you know the story. He got his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. He began to go down because he began to look at the waves and look at the circumstances instead of keeping his eyes on Jesus, and he began to sink. And Jesus' response to him in Matthew 14:31 says, he said to Peter, "Why did you doubt me?" So there was some disappointment there. Another thing we find out is that people make mistakes. People make mistakes. So Jesus was in a setting where he was explaining to the disciples how he was going to be delivered up and be abandoned and be rejected, and he was going to be crucified. And well, Peter, now he stood up and said, "Now wait a minute." He rebuked Jesus. He began to argue with Jesus and said, "No, this isn't going to happen." And while his intentions were good, look at Jesus' response to Peter. In Matthew 16:23, he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." Now, you know you've really messed up and made some bad mistake when Jesus calls you the devil. I'm just saying. Pretty bad. He made mistakes. And then we see that people are selfish. And that's selfishness is probably easy for most of us because we tend to gravitate to our own desires, our own will, our own way. That's what we've done ever since Adam in the garden, right? My way, what I want. And so it's a natural tendency. Jesus was in the garden praying before he was to be crucified, before his arrest. And he had disciples there gathered with him, praying with him. And Jesus was praying until his sweat became as drops of blood, and he was praying to the Father. And he was asking them, "Hey, this is the time I need you. I need you to be with me. I need you to pray with me." But he turned and he found the disciples asleep. And he looked at Jesus, Jesus looked at Peter and said in Mark chapter 14 and verse 37, he said to Peter, "Are you asleep?" He said, "Couldn't you watch for 1 hour?" So Peter, couldn't you think about something besides your own needs right now? Could you not think about what I'm going through right now? So people are selfish. Then we see also that people might betray. And we know that as Jesus was arrested, there was Peter that abandoned him. But can I just also add, it wasn't just Peter, everybody, all the disciples abandoned him. And yet, there was that moment when someone began to associate Peter with Jesus, and Peter began to deny, and we know the story, he denied him 3 times. And I know as that third denial occurred, that Peter had to reflect back and remember what Jesus had said at the supper the night before, that before this night is over, you're going to deny me 3 times. He betrayed Jesus. Mark 14:71 says he began to call down curses and he swore to them. Peter said, "I don't know this man you're talking about." He betrayed him. So people are people. And people do make these mistakes. But here's the wonderful thing I want us to know, and that is that Jesus never gave up on Peter, and Jesus never gives up on you. So if you look at these things and you say, "I've been guilty of some of these things. I have disappointed. I've made mistakes. I've tended to be selfish. Perhaps I've even betrayed Jesus at times." I want you to know that God never gives up on you. He doesn't say, "Oh man, that's it. I'm through with them." Jesus never gives up on you. He loves you no matter what you're going through. He cares about you, wants to have a relationship with you. He never gives up. So let's talk about uncommon influence. So Matthew 16:18, Jesus said this. He said to Peter, he said, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. So after all that, listen, Jesus has already determined that, Peter, I'm going to use you. I think about how that when Jesus was resurrected, the women that came and they discovered Jesus was alive, and he said, go tell my disciples, and then he said, and Peter, that I'm going, and he told where they would find him. Now, it was interesting that he said, and Peter. I believe he was wanting to send a message to Peter, and perhaps he wants to send a message to us today, that no matter what we've done, and how much we've fallen, and how frustrated we are, and we think God is mad at us, and he's standing up there saying, man, I really wish they would get it right. I'm frustrated with them. Listen, God wants you to know that he has not given up on you, that he cares about you, and God's going to use your life even for great influence to affect and impact others. Uncommon influence is this, and that is believing the best even after the worst. And that's what God does for us. Even when we're at our worst, God is always at his best, right? And God is believing the best in us even after the worst, because he knows his ability and what he's going to do within our life. And then notice that even after the resurrection, in John chapter 21 and verse 17, they were having a discussion, and Jesus was about to ascend to the Father, and Peter, you know, he's contemplating about maybe just going back and go fishing. And that what that meant was, Peter was originally a fisherman before, and he was fishing for fish, and Jesus said, no, you're going to fish for men. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And he brought him up out of that trade into something even greater and beyond that, which involved reaching people. And then after all was said and done, I think Peter was contemplating, it said he was going fishing. And I think what that meant was he was going back to his trade. Enough of this, enough of disappointment, enough of what I've been going through. And so Jesus begins to have a conversation with them, and Peter is dialoguing with Jesus, and Jesus keeps asking this question. He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And here's the thing. He asked him this three times. I kind of tend to think perhaps there was an association with the three denials of Peter, where he denied him three times, and now he's having to declare him and make up for that three times to say, I love you, Jesus. And notice what he said. Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the question a third time. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. What he was saying here is, I know you've denied me, but I want you to know that you're still in relationship with me, and I'm going to use you to make an impact and have influence in the lives of others. I'm going to use you greatly, no matter what your past does not determine your future. Somebody needs to hear that today. Your past does not determine your future. Come on. Amen. And if you fast forward just a little bit past this scene, in fact, Jesus said to Peter, Satan has tried to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith would remain. So don't give up. Know that God's going to use you. And I believe God wants to strengthen someone's faith here today. If we fast forward, we see that it was Peter that God used to raise up on the day of Pentecost, when God birthed the church, the beginning of the church. He used Peter to stand up and preach the first sermon in the church. Isn't that great? And 3,000 came to Christ that day. Peter, the one who had betrayed him. Peter, the one who had made so many mistakes. Peter, the one that had totally stepped in it so many times. Peter, the one that had denied him. And yet he used Peter to birth the church, and 3,000 people were saved. Come on, everybody. That's just a beautiful story. And I just think somebody needs to hear that God doesn't give up on us. And here's the thing. When God puts his hand on our life and God changes us on the inside and begins to use us and gives us influence, here's what we need to know. And that is, it's always, always, always all about people. God came to reach lost people. If you want to know the heartbeat of God, it's people. Jesus came not for his own self to be served, but he came to serve others. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so then when he rescues that one that is lost, God gives them his heartbeat to reach and to seek and to save those which are lost. It's all about people. If you want to know if God's given you a vision for something, can I tell you that God's vision is always connected to the harvest? I think it's interesting because in the Bible, a lot of the things where we see vision happens with harvest fields. And our harvest represents people. And if you want to know if your vision is right, you need to check and make sure it's connected to people and not just selfish gain for yourself. Because at the end of it all, now God will bless you in the process, but at the end of it all, the purpose of it is that God will use you and bless you to be a blessing to others. He makes a difference in your life so that you can make a difference in others' life for eternity. Amen? It's always, always about people. So God's not in it just to make you some entity and some icon and, you know, just some great whatever and make you some institution that looks great and some landmark on the planet. No, God wants to raise up a church. He wants to raise up a people. He wants to raise you up in the workplace. He wants to raise you up in your home and your community so that you can have influence in the lives of others and see others come to Christ. Amen? And so it's all about people. Write this down there in your notes. My influence is not determined, though. Listen to this. My influence is not determined by the level of my success, but my ability to help you succeed. Now, that's powerful. It's not about me succeeding. My success is about you succeeding. And that's how we determine influence. It's about others. Again, that's why Jesus came, to serve others. That's why he came. He invested in you and I to invest in others. So how do we do this? Let me get you take a few notes here on how we do this. Number one, and that is, as we're talking about influencing people, we need to focus on the person. Focus on the person, as in the other person. Philippians chapter 2 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. So that means that, practically speaking, we need to open up our life and we need to share life with others and get to know people. That means that we're going to need to get close to people. We need to know when we're talking about getting close to people, what makes that person cry? What makes that person laugh? What motivates that person? What interest does that person have? And get to know that person so that we can have the right to be able to speak into that person's life. Can I just tell you, Peter was not a project for Jesus. He was a person to Jesus. And Jesus cared about him and invested in his life. So we need to be, if you think about the people that have invested in your life and what a difference they've made. I know there's been many different people that have invested in our lives and have shaped us into who we are. We need to be willing to do that same thing for other people, right? We need to be a church that is always investing in other people. And I'm so proud of the leadership that we have in this church that's always understands that it's not about me, it's about me making a difference in somebody else's life. It's not about my position, it's not about my title, it's about me, God using me to be an instrument to bless and affect other people. I'm so proud of our team. I think about Pastor Dwayne as he came as our worship pastor, and we were having conversations. And see, we both grew up in church, and we kind of know the role of how a lot of things goes. For one thing, a lot of times the pastor, he's the man. I mean, he got to do it all, and all answers are in his briefcase, and he wears all hats, and it's all about him. Come on. And doesn't share any of it with anybody else. It may be insecurity because they're afraid of somebody else maybe doing a better job than he does. I've come to realize there's a lot of you a lot smarter than me. And I think it's important to surround myself with people who can do it better than I can. I think together we're better. Come on, right, everybody? And I remember having the conversation with Pastor Dwayne about worship. And we had this discussion about, you know, it's not just going to be a one-man solo job. It's going to be that we share that. And you notice up here, there's different people leading different songs. Isn't that beautiful? It's just great because Dwayne can't hit all the high notes like Tiana did this morning, right? I mean, so I just think it's a beautiful thing. I hear Pastor Steve when he finds out somebody's got an interest in guitar. Now, I don't know if it's pronounced guitar. I mean, guitar. I don't know what part of the world I'm from, South, but anyhow. But he's a mentor to people. He takes them in. I'll just help them out. I'll be there for them. He finds out somebody has something going on that needs to be discipled as a small groups pastor. He meets with them and pours himself into them. And come on, he doesn't mind handing off a guitar. Or guitar, you know what I'm saying? So we need to be able to have that kind of. No, it's not about us. And I think sometimes we want to protect ourselves, and we just say, well, you know, they may do it better than me. They may replace me. Come on, it's not about that. So we got to focus on the person. And when we discover, listen, the best in others, it brings out the best in us, right? So we're about making others great, not ourselves great. We're about investing in others. I remember, if I could just park here for just a minute, I remember one Christmas, I was needing some help putting up some Christmas trees around here. And I had a guy that was fairly new to the church. And he said, man, I'll meet with you. And so we found ourselves that week right down here in the middle of the floor, laying on our back, trying to work lights around Christmas trees. You know, but I realized that it wasn't about the Christmas trees, it was about the relationship. And we got to talking life stories. I found this guy was fascinating. Some of you may know who I'm talking about. He's an Army recruiter, and he began to tell some of his stories. I was like, oh my goodness, this guy, he's the real deal. I mean, he's God bless America, not America, America. I'm just saying, man, he was like the man. We began to talk and share, and we got in relationship. And he and his family got involved in the church. And guess what? God gave me influence into his life. And guess what? He had influence into the life of another guy. First guy's name is Craig, and Craig had influence in the life of a guy named Cody. And he came to the church and started playing the drums for us. And God just began to change and make a difference in his life. And he began to speak into the life of his mother. And his mother, there were some changes and impact that happened in her life. Come on. And guess what? Didn't know it at the time. But not too long ago, she went on to be with Jesus. But see, listen, how did that start? Now, I'm not trying to take credit. What I'm trying to demonstrate is that God has given us influence in the lives of other people. It was never about the Christmas tree. Now, I'm always looking for people. I remember we had a guy come up, Dwayne, he's the IT man. And he knows all that stuff. That's what he does for a living. But I remember we had an individual that came up and was new to this thing of Christianity. From another country, and began to speak into that thing that we were working on with the IT. And I'm thinking, this is not about that gadget. It's about getting this guy involved. We had a guy this week, we're working on a dishwasher in the kitchen this week. And a guy came in here, and he's a student. He's in mechanical engineering. Now, I don't know if mechanical engineering relates to fixing a dishwasher or not. But Dwayne, I know he had a handle on it. I knew he knew what he was doing. But I was trying to pull this guy in to help us. You're the mechanical engineer. Now, it wasn't really about the dishwasher. We just wanted to have influence. And before it was all over with, he was on top of the ceiling over here fixing a hot water heater, driving with Dwayne, Pastor Dwayne, to Home Depot to get a part. And he walked away. And that guy began to open up and laugh and joke with us. And I'm thinking, it's not about the hot water heater. It's about relationship, right? So I'm just saying, it's all about that. I remember having, and I know I'm spending a little bit of time on this point. I'll push through the rest of them. But I remember, this is such an important point. It's all about people. For me, it's not, and some of you are task-oriented, and I get that, but you need to be intentional about realizing that it's not about the task. And yes, we need to get the task done. And for all you people-oriented people, we need to get some things done. But for you task-oriented people, we need to realize that the task is to help point people to the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? I remember having a pastor's wife who would teach a Sunday school class. Her name was, we called her Sister Nettles. And I was a teenager. And sometimes, actually when the pastor was teaching, like on a Wednesday night, she'd sit on the front row. And she'd ask questions because it was kind of a dialogue format, you know. And we were having conversation about certain, and she would ask questions that you knew she knew the answers to. Well, sometimes I just don't understand. Why is this and why is that? And the reason was it for her information. She's trying to have an influence and help other people. It wasn't about her. It was about her helping other people. Are we getting this straight? So it's all about people. I just think of all this as we talk about focusing on people. Number two, focus on the positive. Focus on the positive. Because there's a lot of negativity everywhere. Ephesians 4:32 says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving. You can underline that one if you like. Forgiving one another. Oh, and this makes it even more powerful. Just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. That's pretty powerful. How has God forgiven you? Well, the Bible says, in the same manner, we should forgive others as well. And I believe that we live in a world where there's a spirit of criticism. I think it's connected to pride. And we're very judgmental. And the church at times has even had a reputation being very judgmental and finger pointers. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we got a big old 2x4 in our eye trying to pick out a speck out of somebody else's eye. And if you can't, but listen, if you can't see, we need to hear this. If you can't see the positive in people, you're never going to make it in your own life. We've got to see, and there's a lot of negative we can see, and we can pick apart each other, but we've got to, come on, we've got to accentuate the positive. Come on, forget about, how does that song go? Somebody help me. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and forget about Mr. In-Between. That's biblical. I know that's a song, but that's biblical. Because, listen, we need to forgive. Forgive the negatives and focus on the positive. Listen, we're all messed up, but yet God forgives us. Number three, focus on their potential. On their potential. Oftentimes, it's not recognized. It's there, but we don't see it. And so we're going to help people discover their potential and what God's called them to do. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. It's in there. God's given you gifts. You may not be able to find it right at first glance, but it's there. All right? And He says, use them well to what? To serve one another. So everyone has potential. Has potential. And I know if we're not careful, we'll say, well, that other person has greater potential than I do. I don't want to help them because it may threaten me. Yes, that happens within church. And we need to follow what the Bible says because, listen, when we impact their lives, again, this is not about us. It's about making a difference for eternity and for the kingdom's sake. And God's going to bless you and I in the process. And your influence will grow when you see in others what they can't see in themselves. And so so we need to focus on their potential. And then number four, focus on their purpose. Focus on their purpose. Because it is... let me just give you this scripture. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. So we need to help people find their purpose. And that's why we have the growth track. Today is step one. Some of you are going to be in the growth track. I'm so excited about that. Get in the growth track and let us help you discover your purpose. Your purpose. Connect to the body. I know this is maybe a kind of a gross analogy, but if I cut my hand off, I know this is gross, but you'll remember it. If I cut my hand off and laid it over here, it's still my hand. It's not your hand. It's my hand, but it's disconnected. And it may... change colors, and it may not look too good just laying there by itself. It's not going to do any good. But when it's connected to the body, that's when it can function like it's supposed to function. Can I tell you that you may be a great person and in your own right, but unless you're connected to the body, That's when it begins to function how God intended it to. And so each one of us are a member of the body, and we need to connect to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. And that's how it operates. Look at number five. Number five, focus on the process, because it is a process. When we're talking about influencing people, it is a process, but it is worth the investment of our life, because when they win, I win, right? When they win, I win. When we invest in them, good things happen for us. I heard of a pastor who was pouring into the life of somebody, and he was a youth pastor at the time. And he was invested in this life of this person within the church that had come, and he recognized he had gifts. He recognized he had a passion for young people. He recognized that there were great things happening in his life. And in fact, he had a cool factor. He said, I don't think I had that cool factor. He had a greater cool factor than I did with the kids. And he thought, I don't know if I want to recommend him, introduce him to the senior pastor or not, because he may replace me. I may be out of a job. But he put his own selfish ambitions aside, and he encouraged the guy, and he mentored the guy. Well, guess what? He did become the youth pastor of that church. But the guy who recommended him is now the executive pastor of the church. You see what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, there's value in it, and that's the way God designed this thing to be. We're pouring into life of others. So he went through that process of pouring into this life and see the good thing happened to him in the process. I'm going to give you a scripture as we come to a close. I want to give you a scripture, but before the scripture that's there in your notes, couldn't fit everything into your notes, I want to give you one that leads up to that. And it's found in Luke chapter 6, verse 36. You have 38. I'm just going to back up a little bit. Verse 36 says this: do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Let me read that again. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. And then look what it goes on to say. Give and you will receive. Now, I know a lot of us, we think a lot about money when it comes to that, but this is more than just money. This is talking about relationships. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount that you get back. The best way that you can help them is to become the help them to become the best version of who they are. You see, you invest in them and God will bless you back. We're talking about uncommon influence, everybody. I heard someone say, I don't want to be the big deal. I want to help others be the big deal. As a pastor, that's the culture that I want our church to be. That's the environment we want to create here. We're all about others. I want to tell you, when God's using you as a conduit to bless others, His Holy Spirit, His power working in you and through you, guess what? You're going to be blessed in the process. You're going to be fulfilled in the process. You're going to find joy in the process. Don't you know that's why Jesus said, come on. He said, this is my commandment. That's pretty strong. That you love one another. Why? So that your joy may be full. So that your joy may be full. Most miserable person in the world is a person who's just selfish and self-centered and thinking about me, mine, mine. Right? But one of the most joyous people you ever meet is somebody that's caring for others. Some of you just might need to take a walk down the hall of a hospital today and think about somebody besides yourself. It'll change your life when you start ministering to other people. You have a purpose. I've been in hospital situations where people are thanking me for being there as if they're imposing upon my time and my energy and my, you know, me to come by and be there, and I got more important things to do. I've walked the hall with my wife, and I've told her, I said, I'm like a kid in the candy shop right now, because there's a joy in ministering to other people. There's a delight in being the hands and feet of Jesus. The Bible says if you lose your life, you save your life. Come on, if you want to be first, you're going to be last. But if you're last, you're going to be first. And let God guide you and direct your life. And I heard one of the greatest quotes given by Billy Hornsby, a great man of God who God has used to pastor pastors and plant churches and speak life into people in the church community. And he said, he was asked one time as people were gathering and lined up at his hospital room to see him. And the reason they were lined up was because God gave him influence in those people's lives. He had influenced their lives. He had been a life changer, a world changer. People were lined up trying to get to see him. One person who came to see him asked him the question, what do you consider the greatest accomplishment of your life? And everybody leaned in to hear his response. Without hesitation, he said this, "My greatest accomplishments in life are someone else's." How powerful is that? Isn't that great? And I pray God use us to make a difference in people's lives. God, use me to make a difference in the life of my kids. Come on. God, use me to make a difference in the life of my family, my wife. God, use me to have an influence where God's placed us for these students across the street. God, help us to be influential in leading people to Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, thank you for your presence today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, help us to hear your voice speaking now as you desire to have influence in our lives. Jesus, you came to influence us to receive the love of your Father. Holy Spirit, you've come to reveal the love of Jesus and the love of the Father. You've come to influence us to follow Jesus and our lives be changed. God, may we be influenced by your Holy Spirit, by your word, by your power in our lives so that we can be life changers as you work in us and through us for your glory. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to just speak to those of you today that would say, I need to yield to the influence of God's love extended to me. In other words, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, and he's saying there's some things in your life that you need to surrender to me. And through this message, through other, maybe even people and conversations, God's trying to influence you into the way of life. And let me just tell you, everything God has for you is good. And I pray that God is speaking even now. I believe even on the internet right now, God is speaking. And God's using even that phone in your hand, that computer on your desk, as a means of God to speak influence into your life and to influence you to come to him. I just want to invite you to open up your heart and receive Jesus right now. If you're watching online or if you're in this house, I want to pray a prayer with you. And if that's you, to say, I need him in my life today. I'm ready to make a decision to follow Jesus and have his influence preeminent in my life, leading my steps. I want to pray with you. If that's you, would you just do me a favor? Just let God know. Would you just lift up a hand? Come on. Just do something physical. Right? That's it. Just take a step by raising that hand. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Proud of you. Yes. Good job. Yes. Thank you. Proud of you today. If you're watching online, would you join us as well? Come on. Can you? And you go ahead and slip those hands back down and let's just pray this prayer. Just pray something from your heart. Just going to help you with the words. Pray something like this. Say, today, God. Come on, just say that from your heart. Say, today, God, I give you my life. I thank you for coming to me today. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Forgive me for going my way. Today, I accept you in my life. Come inside and make me brand new. With all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me today. God, thank you for changing me forever. My past is over. Today is a new beginning. Help me to walk with you day by day. Come on, say it the way the Bible says it. I make you Lord of my life. I declare you as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for every person who just prayed that prayer. accepted you in their life, today, this moment, everything changes, God. And now the process begins as we follow you day by day, and you lead us by your Holy Spirit. Help us as we take step by step to follow you, God. Make an eternal difference, God, I pray. Use us, God, now to influence others. See lives change, Lord. May our life be fulfilled to the full, to the max, as we follow you. And for everything accomplished, we give you all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's thank God today. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.